This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you know you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, unlike the Owls, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So there's only one thing left to say, what's everybody having? Order now on the McDonald's app and you can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means you'll get some tasty rewards later on. And between you and me, if you order just before kickoff, you can get it just in time for half time, but I've not told you that. Only via the app at participating restaurants, 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. See you later.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
The Trundell! What a goal! It's absolutely world-class from Marcus Trundell!
Johnson puts it in the air. Aidan Flint wins the
It's still with Lee Gregory. He's in the box. Tries to screw him. Is it going to be there?
Yes! Yes!
Oh, my word!
The Wednesday Wake!
Hello, good evening, and welcome to another episode of the Wednesday Week. Tonight, joining me, I've got Holly, 90s boy band throwback John. That's a hell of an outfit you've picked this evening. I believe that was for the purposes of a joke. Holly, why is John dressed like that? I feel like I missed something out in the group chat.
You clearly missed the memo last week when you wore that fashion victim outfit that you had on that everybody noticed. So me and John have decided to wear shit shirts today too. Although so John's got a lot of wear out of that recently, I think.
I tell you what, we can't make John laugh tonight because he will pop a button and smash his camera. I tell you what though, John, you're a lot more cut than what I gave you credit for, bro. Fair play. And you know, I don't wanna be a fool because it's leaving. You look like an NSYNC. You know, I used to be in a boy band in Mallorca in 2002 called Forbidden. So you know, you'd have been welcome back then, bro. In that top, big fan.
Yes.
And we've got former child now turned current pundit Blair Hardman. That's better. Right then, we've got two games to get through tonight, ladies and gents. Don't forget to get in touch with the comments on the bottom of the screen. Blair's in charge of that. I've just realised I was trying to get to the bottom of it. Now, when I was asking Ash to do the comments, and he said, I'm like the person they cut to on the right stuff to go through the comments, like I give a shit what somebody's got to say about the current affairs and the news. I realised that what they used to call that segment was the babe in the booth. And I've just realised that they can't get away with that anymore, so they don't call it anymore. So Blair in the booth is going to be in the booth tonight. Now, tonight we've got two games to get through. We've got Norwich City and Stoke City. So a week that could have gone better, if I'm honest. So let's get to Stoke, H. Not Stoke. No, let's start at Norwich. Let's talk about the... I tell you what, let's talk about the lineup because I feel like we kind of... We showed our hand a little bit. You know, we played four at the back and it didn't go to plan, did it?
Well, before we get to that point, let me just say I was on for Middlesbrough and I wasn't for QPR. And here I am back again. We've had two games and we haven't won. So something's wrong with this scheduling. But you'll be glad to know I'm not on for the rest of the season now, so we'll win up.
So we're talking 9 points for the rest of the season. Big fan of that. Big fan of that.
Absolutely. So you called me out on the last podcast for Masaba and Gassama playing together and me thinking that's a bad idea. And then they both started in this game, in which we started very bad.
So you were right, and I was right to call you out on it, right?
I was right and you were saying I was wrong.
Oh, I actually, because it was QPR, wasn't it, where they actually played quite well for themselves. But according to BBC Sport, we had five at the back. I don't think it probably lined up like that because I think they just chuck numbers at a piece of paper and see how it goes. But the start against Norwich H, not mint, was it?
No. This is one of them where everyone went, yes, let's fill Hillsborough. The crowd will be up for it, blah, blah, blah. And then, unfortunately, when you do that and then you start bad, it sort of it has a really, really, really negative effect. And obviously, both goals, which we'll come to, came from our own doing, which then really didn't help the crowd situation at all. We gave them the goals and...
Yeah, I tell you what, Johnston Timberlake, there's an element in there of it's great having a big crowd, but like Holly mentioned in the week, if it's not going our way, then it can go quite badly, right?
100%. I think that's one of the things that I don't think Danny Rule's quite got with the mentality of the Kop and the Sheffield crowd as such, and British fans in general, really, that if your team's not doing well, we're going to let you know about it. And I know that not just Roll, other managers spoke about it before, but we do let them know if it's utter garbage and it's not going to plan and people are individually making and collectively making stupid errors, we're going to let them know about it. And it was just a horror show, wasn't it, for that first 20-odd minutes. Just one of those situations where the style of football that Danny wants us to play really comes back and like punches you square in the gonads, doesn't it, really? And it's just like, couldn't have wished for a worse start, really, could we?
Yeah, it was absolutely... Well, what was it? What was the term you used for my shirt last week, H?
Doggy crap doggy... of the
bar. Baba, not Boba, Baba, like the name of the elephant from the cartoon. So, yes, we've got a comment there from Robbo Early Doors, Blair. Rob's been on and said, I've missed the start. Is John having a midlife crisis? You've missed the start, so we've explained the shirt. And I'm none the wiser. I tell you what, John, I'm just impressed that you've still got the shirt. I remember it's a good 21 years since I've owned sleeveless shirts such as that. So, you know, fair play to you keeping all the stuff skills. I bet you've got a load of 90s shirts that are pristinely looked after. And like Holly and I are displaying right now, we have to wait for a sale on in the club shop to get our macro.
This is the this is the Hillsborough uniform this week. Every single person has got this green stuff on. I've got the joggers really on as well, look.
Well, this is actually that tight. When you asked me to speak, I thought I was going to sound like the guy from Pirates of the Caribbean, you know, the little Indian pirate. So we will go to war. Because I'm proper being squeezed here, man. I can't speak.
Honestly, you keep it, John. That's coming back in.
Do you know what? I'm gonna smash one out. I'm gonna spend all summer now getting cut, so you can loan me that shirt, John. Now, Blair, what have we got in the comments? And then add your own, pal. What's happening? You guys talking about Norwich out there. Let's find out what the Mandems are saying.
Yeah, well, Martin's come up from Bedfordshire for the worst first half he's seen in a long time. Got to agree with him, but then he has followed up with he thought being overcovered well through, showed maturity and made some good saves. And the guy behind me and Holly, wow. Really does not like James Beadle.
So the crowd, obviously, us defending that side as well with the crowd on their backs. Bear in mind, he's a teenager or whatever; he's very young. And then the guy behind us was just relentlessly shouting, "Send him back to Brighton!" from minute one, before he'd even done anything wrong. And for I don't know why fans do that and why they think that's going to help, but for Beadle to then still make some pretty good saves and still stay composed after we've made a couple of mistakes, which he did have a hand in, to be fair. I thought were really good. The crowd was absolutely awful. some people that are on this panel right now wanted to leave after half an hour, didn't they, Blair?
No, mate. So when we did the I don't know, the 15th misplaced pass to a Norwich player, and I can't remember who shot, but he literally narrowly missed the post. It was going in, but it was like literally inches from going in. And I went to Holly, because I was taking her home, and said, if that went in, we was off, because this was just absolute shit, wasn't it, that first half. I mean, we were so angry, because it was just like, Did the players understand? And this came back after Bannon's comment about we played poorly because we hadn't got a new contract and stuff. It weren't long after that.
Yeah.
And did they understand? It's like we were watching it going, do you understand what, where you are in the league table and how many games you got left? Because
and the effect the that will have on your contract as well for next season. Yeah.
The way they were passing the ball, I mean, I was saying it was like when you're at a barbecue and there's a ball and you sort of like don't want to blast it over the fence or hit anyone. So you sort of like gently passing it to each other in the garden. And it's like, but that's how Hiekwe and Bambo and Femeiro and Bida were passing to each other. And it was like, what are you doing? There were no urgency. But then the midfield weren't exactly moving for him. So it wasn't like there was that many options to go forward. But when you got Michael Smith up front, surely just lumping it forward to him is a better option than a lackadaisical pass to your left and John Sargent's just stood in the middle of you. So.
But then that Sargent nicked the ball quite a few times. Like a slow pass, and then we didn't learn from it. We just kept doing it, and he just kept nicking the ball. They just kept winning the same ball. We didn't go, well, probably we should hit it a bit harder or do something different. We just kept going, this hasn't worked twice. Let's just carry on.
And it created that anxiety in the crowd as well, didn't it? Because we're always a bit nervous when they're playing right back anyway. But once you've conceded one goal from it and they still continue to play that way, every time the ball was coming anywhere near Beadle or being passed across that back line, you could just hear the anxiety in the crowd. We were all just thinking, just get rid of it. Just hit it long, I don't care. But you just don't get caught in possession again. And they didn't listen, did they?
I know it's a good side as well, aren't they? So it was almost like...
Yeah, really good.
Let's give these a two-goal head start, lads. We've already get well. We get the best at league in 18-game head start. So why not give these a two-goal head start? Because
that's part of problem. That's part of problem. Like if Norwich had given us those opportunities, we would have taken 10 chances to score one goal. But when it's a team like Norwich, you only need to give them two or three chances. And I think actually Beadle made a couple of good saves
did it 2-0.
Section. But yeah,
a great one at 2-0.
Yeah.
So let's go on, Nage.
One of the goals, I can't remember if it was the first or the second, was from their throw-in. And Diaby lets it go over his head. Like, he doesn't move back. He just goes and watches it go. And then Hiekwe comes towards it and then he doesn't challenge for it freezes, at all. Yeah. It's really, really poor. To say that those two people are absolute mammoths.
To get caught by a throw-in like that. Yeah. Just embarrassing.
I tell you what it reminded me of, that goal. Like, if any of you guys listening out there or any of you guys here have played Sunday League football, right, and defending a free kick and a corner is crap. It's crap. And then what happens is you get called, being a big guy like myself, right, like, Fudge, get him, get this geezer. And you're always marking a geezer that is built like Bambo Diaby, right? You're always marking him. You're like, fuck's sake, I'm going to get my head kicked in here. And then you look around and you're having a tussle here, and then your other big pal at the centre back's having a tussle there. And there's always another big stag who just can't be arsed with it, who just stands on the edge of the 6-yard box and goes, I'll go spare. I'll go spare. And you're like, fucking spare? Get here. Get on that back stick and slap one in. What are you doing? And it kind of reminded me about that. Like, he's gone, I'll go spare. Oh, it's gone, lads. Coming in 6-yard box, boys. You know what I mean? It just kind of reminded me about that. Was that the first or the second one, John? I can't remember.
That's the first.
That was the first, but you're right. They always look, when the defending's that bad, the goals always look like they're in slow motion, don't they? You can see the ball rolling across. You can see that it's going to find their players, but acres of space and time. And you're just waiting for it to hit back, ripple back at net. You just know what's coming, and it's just like, what an awful, awful way to start the game. And in a big game like this, when you don't need to give teams like Norwich two goals head starts, do you? You know, they're pressing for a promotion, and we know we've got as issues scoring more than one goal anyway, typically in games, and you're giving them a two-goal lead. It's a real mountain to climb, isn't it, really? It's just ideal.
It really is. Blair, who's that big shot kicker that they've got up front? What's his name? I've forgotten his bloody name. Barnes.
Close.
Ashley Barnes.
Yeah. I mean, he's been around it, hasn't he?
Like, he knows how to play this level.
Yeah. He's a brilliant. I mean, we'd love to have him.
Yeah,
his
we'd
experience.
Love him.
Oh yeah,
playing up front and leading the line. I mean, yeah, let's give him some. It was just embarrassing. It was just a joke, and there were no fighting desire. And we'll come on to the changes soon. But that second goal, I think that second goal was even worse than the first. Because there were so many opportunities to get rid of it. I mean, was it another throw-in again? And then someone passed a banner and he didn't go nowhere near him, and then Yekwe had it, and then, oh, was that for another chance? I was like, I'm getting confused. That's so many shit.
So many chances.
Yekwe was passing, it was the pass back to, from Yekwe to Beadle, wasn't it? That was crap. Slow motion ball back to Beadle, and for some reason Beadle.
Ihekwe's got a bit in the bank for me, because I think the last few months I think he's been outstanding, but on that one he did drop his backside.
I think all our defenders are good at heading the ball. Well, sorry, I say this, but from a corner they're terrible for crosses, but we seem to have good, like, traditional defenders who can are good at heading it and are good at booting it up the front. But when it comes to actually passing out of the back, they're terrible. But that gets contradicted big time, because we can't defend a corner anyway. So
it would a bit like that goal that we conceded against Barnsley at their place last season, where we passed it out front back and then we passed it into the middle, but to someone who was already marked. Mm. What it, like Flint, or passed it to Volts, or tried to, and then Barnsley scored. And we did same thing, even though it didn't work last season. We did it that same thing loads of times that first 10 minutes. It was not the start.
Yeah, we did. Blair, can you put this comment up from Paul there? Because I feel like that's a good talking point. So what Paul's gone in with is a definition of lunacy, doing exactly the same thing a number of times but expecting a different outcome, which is correct. Now, John, I'm going to come to you on this one, because, you know, playing it out from the back, right, we did it at QPR and it worked, right? There's been a couple of times where it's worked. But there's also been a number of times where it hasn't, you know, namely Norwich first half, Leicester City first half. But also, QPR played it out from the back and it didn't work for them on that Saturday we beat them. So where do you stand on it? Is it, you know, because, so, you know, your modern football fans will be all very much down the line of, you know, we've got to keep hold of the ball, keep possession and recycling and all the nonsense that comes with it. Whereas you and I are of a certain age where it is just hoof it to the shit kicker. I mean, have you modernized your football knowledge or your football perceptions based on how you've modelled your shirt this evening, or have you, you know?
For me, I put it all down to one man, Pep Guardiola. As soon as Pep Guardiola came to this country as a manager, and they're all raving how good he is and what he'd done at Barcelona with it, Messi and the false nine and everything like that, and the way that they play, everyone wants to emulate the best of the best, and it filters down the leagues. And I think,
but that's great when you've got Lionel Messi or Kevin De Bruyne.
I know.
I mean, we don't get any of them.
No, and German football is very much the same. It's a very much possession based, like to play out from the back. But then it gets to a point, doesn't it, where you're scrapping for your lives, and it's like you've been caught out once or twice. They've had your shorts down a couple of times this season. Let's not go there again. You know, we've got running out of games here, so let's just play it safe and hoofing it upfield to somebody like Michael Smith. I know Lee Gregory doesn't get any games anymore. He'd have been perfect for it. It gives you a 50-50% chance of still winning that aerial battle and retaining possession, whereas when they're pressing us like we are and crowds getting edgy and that lot, one slip up, inevitably, you're going to get a chance on goal or even a score. So I think the part of me is like, I like Danny for sticking to his principles, as he calls them. But the other part of me is like, come on now, we really need to dig in here and not give any silly goals away and playing off the back foot and chasing the game after 20 minutes. It's just not the position we need to be in. So I think long-term vision is you would keep doing it, but I think you've got to pick your battles, haven't you? And when you're this close to the end of the season, every point, every goal is going to count, isn't it? So I would abandon it at this stage.
There's a theory about, like, you've got to play this brand of football to get help so the big clubs in the Premier League will send their players to you. So if you're playing long ball football, they're not going to send their players who are there coaching for their system to play the ball on the floor.
I think my problem with it isn't that. Like, I get why they do it, and they're doing it to draw people in so there's more space elsewhere and blah, blah, blah. And it does work sometimes, although the teams that Fudge said it didn't work against, lo and behold, are all the best teams, and the teams it has worked against are all shit teams.
Weird,
so,
that, innit?
What a surprise. but when we keep doing it and we keep getting caught out, I sort of don't really blame Beadle for it, because he's He's really young, so he's out of all of his footballing knowledge, most of it is coached and less of it is experience. So his overriding factor is going to be he's going to go with what he's been told to do. In 5-10 years' time, he'll probably know just boot it upfield and get rid of it. And that some of the goals we've conceded this season won't have happened, like that one at Leicester, he'd have just oofed it. But that's where people like Bannon or Ihekwe, who are experienced, need to not play a farty pass back to him when they know he's not going to oof it. They just need to take control of it. They've got the experience that he hasn't got. So if he's, why are they not imparting that on the game? They know what's going to happen there, and then they should be taking control of it. Why we're letting a teenage lad do that and then
be the last line of defense against good teams that we've just stitched him up with a short ball. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
And bear in mind, this lad has been brought up at Brighton, who's been playing Premier League tick-attacker, keep the ball football, right? You know what I mean? And he's stood there passing out to the fullback, thinking it's all right. He can deal with that. And the fullback's gone, wait, what? What, you're giving it me?
But the fullbacks know he's going to do that, so why aren't they ready? Why don't they know? And the next person, why don't they know? Why are they just going, what's he doing?
Because we've got 6'5" smudger up front, and we're going, kick it to him. What are you doing, you crackhead? I don't want him back here. We're at the bottom of the league playing out the back football. Blair, while I write down the term farty pass from Holly, can you go through the comments, please? And then we will talk about the second half, John.
Yeah, Harpo speaks. He does speak, indeed, boy types. If the stats didn't show it was effective, managers wouldn't do it. Of course, it needs to be the situation, but people moaning about it in general. You know, he's talking about the passing out of the back.
From the back. I agree with that.
It will work. It is a stat thing, and it will work more. It will make more chances than
it's risk not. Versus reward, isn't it? That's the problem. Isn't it? It's very risk versus reward. So.
What was annoying about it against Norwich, and it's been a problem for Wednesday all season. But when we concede one, we seem to concede two immediately after, within 5 or 10 minutes after. Like, we never seem to go right.
Yeah,
we never go right. We've just had a big massive cock up. Let's just play it safe for 10 minutes, calm down and try and get his shape back and sort of like get back into the, and try and cut, yeah, just get back into the game and try and get put it behind us. Instead, they start just playing kamikaze football again straight away.
Yeah, there was a lot of times under Chisco, wasn't there, where the heads dropped and then we thought we'd got rid of it. And then it's kind of come back recently as the stakes have got higher as we've got closer to the finish line, right?
But then you can argue about the effort on the pitch by some players. Isn't reflecting that off?
That's been questionable, especially at Middlesbrough, isn't it?
But... yeah, Middlesbrough away being the epitome, and the first half for Norwich. Now, second half, John.
I saw QPR on the stream, so I weren't there in person. But the last game I saw live was Middlesbrough, and the second, and the game after I saw live was the first half against Norwich. And I was just like, I was so fucked off with what we're seeing. We're like, you know, I mean, like we've got five games left.
We've not heard the survey. Less swearing.
Oh, yes. Oh, well. Sorry, yes. So we've had our survey results in, and I've had a lot of feedback for F-bombing quite a lot. And someone actually specifically wrote, Fudge says farting around the poo too much, which I really enjoyed. And that's me trying to keep it PG. Now, John, second half came. Now, by all accounts, Danny Rule gave him a bit of a hairdryer treatment at halftime, and it seemed to work, didn't it? Did you see an improved work rate from the players?
Oh, yeah, 100%. And it was all led by one man, Callum Patterson. Callum Patterson led by example in that second half. He came on that pitch second half and he ran his socks off. And he's like, anybody else, this is what we're going to do now to get back into this hard work graft, and we're going to get ourselves back in it. And you know, a couple of the other changes he made, and I don't doubt it did give him a right old rollicking. It showed. It came out a much more fired up second half. The changes were great. Definitely the right moves. But yeah, Callum Patterson for me was just inspirational that second half. It really were.
Absolutely. Holly, four subs at half time is a hell of a statement, isn't it? That was that game, wasn't it?
Yes. At half time, I said, this needs some Pato magic. And there he was. He was absolutely brilliant. Actually, before going into the subs, I will say is that I think Smith has been playing really well in the last few games. So I think Patterson and Smith in the second half together made a big... the way that they press is a bit different to the way that the other guys press. The sort of... If you want, because obviously where we sit, we don't see a lot, but we do see what the strikers do up close. And the way that Smith and Patterson press the sort of curve the run, so they force the defending team to play it whatever way we want them to, rather than just running towards them and letting them do what they want. So both of them together made a really, really big impact on where we were winning the ball, I think. So I thought Pato were ace. And who else did we take off?
Oh, God almighty, that involves... I've been Googling pictures of Justin Timberlake.
I think Palmer went off.
John's got a Justin Timberlake tattoo, so I thought I'd get that ready. sorry, Blair, who went off? Who came on?
Oh, God, I mean, off my memory, I think Palmer went off tonight because he was playing midfield again, which didn't work again.
Right, okay. So at halftime, we had Diaby for Patterson, Palmer for Volks, Windass for Pedersen, Pedersen came on, and Gassama for Paul Valentin, who's been one of the standout players over the running. Big shouts to Pedersen. Now, I'm sure this was trolling on the internet, on X specifically. They were saying the best player on the pitch and had a picture of Pedersen. And he did okay. Like, I wouldn't go as far as saying best player on the pitch, Blair, would you?
No. But nothing.
That was
nothing
his best game.
it was his best game at what, two?
Yeah.
I mean, Huddersfield was the only
one. At least he looked fit this time.
Yeah. But nothing went down. I mean, but Norwich hardly got a look in, did they, really? I don't think nothing went down his side. So, I mean, you can say that was good. But
So what you're saying is, Gassama went off, so we didn't have both of them on at the same time, and it changed the game.
I think what Patterson did was the first thing what was nice about the four subs was Danny Roll identified, but he knew what situation it was, and he cared, and but he identified, but we have to get a point out of this game at least, and we can't afford something. That was really like refreshing. And it was so bizarre because we fast forward to the Stoke game, but he didn't make any subs. So that was really strange.
That's actually a good point. We'll come back to that. Now, John, I'm going to take you back to 1992. It was my first season with a season ticket, and I'm there with my granddad and my uncle. And we're about halfway through the season. We're playing somebody like Everton, and I turned around to my granddad and went, "Why does the crowd get really excited when we get a corner? Like we never score from them." Fast forward 32 years and all of a sudden it's all come to fruition, John. It's all happened. Come on, here we go, lads. We're now corner masters, right?
Yep, and it's down to one simple change. Took Bannon off corners and put Volks on him because he delivers a better ball into the box than Bannon. And when he put
Hang on, John, just on the back of that point, right? I don't want this to be a slight on Barry Banner because I think he's more useful in that. Holly, what was it your dad used to call that position on the edge of the D
the
for
the Glenn Whelan zone.
The Glenn Whelan zone. If Bannon's in the Glenn Whelan zone on the edge of the D, he can rifle one in, right? We know he's got it in his arsenal, right? I'd rather him there than taking corners, if I'm honest. All he needs is a 50p or off a smudge. And it's falling to him. But yeah, now Vox's corners are hitting the back beans on toast. Like, you know, we've done it, right?
Heckler's first goal for us.
Was it?
Can you believe that? That's how crap they are at corners. Somebody like that who heads the ball all day long and that's his first goal. That's insane.
Yeah, and it's like, when you think back to, you know, when we used to have Rob Jones and Big Miguel there and Reader Johnson, they were always a threat when it comes to corners, weren't they, in opposition box? So we've missed that for a while, but sometimes it's the players and sometimes it's the delivery. And I agree with you all that I've always said Bannon should be on edge at box three because he's, you know, he's got a good shot and technique on him. He should be there for anything. We don't seem to ever put anybody on edge at box, which is why when our attacks break down, it allows the opposition to break on us pretty easily sometimes. But yeah, Volks' delivery were absolutely sweet as a nut, weren't it? And it's almost like, how did they fall for it twice? I get it. You know, the first goal, it's like, yeah, backstay, you let him in. And the second one was virtually a carbon copy cross. And, I do believe that the Norwich fans were saying they were poor on defending crosses, and they weren't wrong, were they?
No, they weren't. And I tell you what, fair play to Warnie at the ex-Rotherham manager, current Derby County manager. He can train the lads how to do a corner. Now, Blair, we've had some feedback on John's shirt. What have we had?
Well, I'm going to assume it's that.
No, that was me. Which way's the beach? the rubbish. Boo, boo. Yeah. Listen, that's half an hour. So Norwich finished up 2-2. It's 2-2.
Wait.
There was positives. Go on.
Please, can we direct
the quiz?
Oh no, not that. The halftime quiz was the worst, most Sheffield Wednesday thing ever. God. We got loads of ex-legends out. Not ex-legends, the true legends.
Glenn Whelan being one of them.
Then we started asking them questions where the questions were really confusing and they could see the answers on the scoreboard to the questions about their own lives. And then Brilliant. We only asked two of them questions and then it was time for the players came out.
Oh, it was amazing.
We had to just get rid of them and be like,
it was literally like the world's worst version of Trivial Pursuit. It's like, what are they doing here?
It was a quiz version of the cake ball, which was really, really
good.
Yeah.
That first half and then that quiz. I mean, they brought a guy from the 70s out called the Quiet Man. I mean, he was that quiet, didn't answer a question.
But
Roger Wilde.
Before we move on, please can everybody look out for that video of Charlie celebrating that second goal? Because thing ever.
Yeah, if you do get the opportunity to look online at our ex, have a look through our media. Just try and do her own best Scrappy-Doo impression. And what was a good 4 minutes after the goal had been scored, she you know, the overwhelming urge to just still be part of it is actually one of my favourite things.
We had a special moment with Michael Smith right in front of us.
Tell us about that. You got to lick him on the neck. That means you own him, right?
Me and Charlie, we didn't even make a decision to move from our seats. We just levitated by the power of coming back
Osmosis.
From 2-0 down. And then suddenly we were just staring him right in the eyes, screaming. It was, we had a special moment there. I think he's probably thought about that afterwards.
Yeah, probably has. Now, let's get on to Stoke. Blair, what are the comments saying before we move on? Is there any more Norwich banter from the people out in the ethosphere? We're going to move on to Stoke. Get your thoughts in the comments, folks.
I wouldn't say it's Norwich banter, but we've got Pedersen plays like he's wearing a pair of Timberlands.
Which Timberland? The one that's the shoe or the music producer that dresses like John?
Yeah, yeah. Wears a pair of them.
Yeah.
With Nelly Furtado.
What's the bigger crime, for the second for Norwich goal or John's shirt?
This shirt that John's got on is not as bad as Fudge's shirt from last week. I'm sorry.
Fight me. Although you'll notice tonight that Holly and I...
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
We all know away days are mint, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. Same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now with the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. For more information, see mcdonalds.com. See you later. They are wearing the uniform of Hillsborough at Stoke at home. That was the way to go. The club shop got an absolute beating. And a big shout out to Sharon who helped me out pick out a top. And And I feel like she's done me a solid on this one, trying to show off the pecs, big, strong protein boys. Right, let's move on to Stoke City. Now, this became, given the way that the fixture went on Friday night for Plymouth and given the way the early kickoff went off, this became a six-pointer with about half an hour before kickoff. It was massive. Now, Blair, this is the starting lineup. Whoops, how did that get in there? Oh, that's a picture of sleeveless Backstreet Boys. Norwich lineup here. So
that's on Holly's wall, that.
That's Norwich lineup. I want Stoke lineup. So this is the Stoke lineup. We've gone back to the five at the back with the wing backs, and then 5-3-2 with Ugbo and Smith starting up front. Bit bold, but we were going for it. I was happy to see that. That first 10 minutes. Tell us about that, Blair.
I mean, that first 10 minutes was everything it needed to be, wasn't it? It was to get the crowd going, and to, I think he really wanted to go for that. Oh, obviously, you want an early goal, didn't you? You want a goal anytime. But he really wanted a quick start and to settle the nerves, because the crowd were nervous, because we all saw that, the early results, yeah. And we were all shitting it. And an early goal would have made Hillsborough erupt, I think. If Ugbo scored that, it was a great save, wasn't it?
It was a really very good stop, and I remember thinking that's a mega stop, that one. And that, and you're right, I think if that goal had gone in, or we'd have had something to cheer about that first 10 minutes, that'd have been 4-0. 32,000 people at Hillsborough just kind of got, what's the term, edging? They kind of just got edged, didn't they? They were on the verge of exploding, and it just ne pas de commence. It brilliant. Just didn't happen. Thanks, man.
And then Smith hit the top star as well, not long after. Yeah.
Well, that's because he did everything against what he was taught as a child, to get his head over a ball, and he was going to try and lean back and get one in.
I think it felt a bit like the Huddersfield game, the same sort of atmosphere that both teams sort of really, really didn't want to lose. And at one point, I did think, like I said earlier, I think Smith's been playing really well, and it felt a bit like Smith was trying to end his own contract. Like, if we stay up, I don't think he'll stay. So when he was playing really well, I thought, he really didn't want to stay. He wants us to stay up so he goes somewhere else. But that, we must, how many corners did we have even in the first 5 minutes? I felt I'd lived a life in that first 5 minutes. I was so tense.
I know, it's got to the point where all season I've not got excited for a corner. I mean, every time I won a corner, I'm not bothered. I'm not getting up. I'm not clapping again for a corner. And then because of the Norwich game, every time we got a corner, I'm getting giddy again. I was like, oh my God, we're going to score every corner.
It's all happening. John, when we went in at half-time, did you feel like we were going to turn it round? Sorry, that's a picture of five. Why did that get in there?
Can we just speak about, before John mentions about half-time, can we just speak about Michael Smith's disallowed goal? Because I've watched that back.
Oh, that was first half, wasn't it?
The one where give it for impeding the keeper.
You sound like you've got a differing opinion to the interwebs.
I didn't think it was should have been disallowed. I think it's one of them where it's just classic modern football, where the keeper gets overprotected by the refs, and it's like, oh no, you can't touch him. He's trying to catch the ball. Well, if he's trying to come through two or three players to catch the ball, and you know, he can't do it because they're more physical than he is, it's not a foul. I know it might sound biased, and there might be a lot of disagreement, but I've watched it literally 5 minutes ago. 5 minutes before we started the pod, and I didn't think it were a foul.
Well, yeah, because I watched it back, and then I watched the Norwich goals back, and I thought, well, surely you should disallow both Norwich goals, but for our goals against Norwich, because they're virtually the same. Corner to back stick and header.
Well, where we sit, you can't see anything at all, especially because both teams had, like, white stripes on the shirts. We couldn't see anything. Horrible. We couldn't see, it were horrible. We couldn't see what were happening. And it's sort of like there were a bit of a melee, and some other people started celebrating. And then one of our defenders puts his arms up like that. And everybody sort of then, whoever it was, they tricked us. We thought we had it, but yeah.
And then, were you not sure?
Sorry, man.
Sorry, John. Go on. Sorry, Dan.
I was just saying, you know, when you, like, you've been out cut yourself, mate. You know, you score what you think's a goal, and you jump up in the end, and it's disallowed. Yeah. I always feel right embarrassed that it got disallowed, and I have to sit down really quick, and then I feel like everybody were looking at me, and I feel like stupid, and that is, I hate disallowed goals.
Everybody around you has done exactly the same, so it's okay. But the
feels embarrassed. Is, everyone's looking at him, comes onto a podcast wearing a vest shirt.
Nothing more embarrassed about John.
I was going to say, you threw the looking glass.
As long as you love me,
come on. come on, where Blair and Holly sit, right?
It's shit.
Right, and it's literally the front row behind the goal in the cup, and there is a good 10 yards, like it's nearly to the penalty spot to the byline, that you can't see what's happening. You feel like when they get to the penalty spot, they're stood in the goal. I don't know what it is. It must be a bevel. It's really weird. And so when that player turned around, I want to say it was Femewo or something, stood up and pumped his fist. I was like, oh my god, he's put it in. He's done really well. And then when I watched it back, he was like level with the penalty spot. He was miles away from the bloody thing. He was nearly at the halfway line. I was like, stupid cop aesthetics winding me up. Blair, what's the comment saying?
Great effort from Smith hitting the bar.
It weren't a great effort.
Harper went for the Macron derby.
Well, you know, I think
They had the mint green. Exactly the same training gear as us.
Yeah, when one of their players really went down with a head injury, I was like, has our physio gone over there? Because like, why is our physio taking so long?
Getting his
keys off? Could have been anybody from the crowd. We could have
It could have been. I don't know. Some of our crowd in some of this tight Italian Macron gear. Tell you what.
And then Lewis comes with what we just said. If Ugbo chance goes in, Stoke would have absolutely crapped it. And I think I 100% agree.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Holly, I cut you off there. My apologies. What were you going to say?
I was going to say where we sit, it was just to do with where we sit. There was a point where, had an attack and we were shouting, we were fuming, actually. We were shouting at one of the defenders, Iorfa or whoever, because he felt like it was millimeters away from getting the ball, and then when I've watched it on the highlights, he's like 10 foot away, he's absolutely miles away from it. Why hadn't he got that? I bet he was thinking, what the hell's wrong with these people? They're asking a bit much. Well, we were adamant that it was his fault there, so not that I'm saying to not trust what we think, because we've got they've got the perfect
view. Don't listen to us.
Yeah, you don't know, you can't see, you can't see anything. John, half time came. Now, how were you feeling at half-time? I was still relatively upbeat, albeit I'd left 10 minutes early to try and get served. They'd run out of Wednesday. They'd run out of Carlin and Madry. So I had a lovely Guinness at half-time. Half-time, were you sat there thinking we could probably still steal this, right?
Yeah, I thought we were the better side. And it was just one of those games where you needed that second goal to kill it off, didn't you? If Stoke are two down, you think that we'll win this game. But whenever you leave a team hanging around, there's always a chance that they would get one chance and peg you back. So I did think we were the better side, and I thought we'd come out second half pretty much guns blazing again, like we did for Norwich. Because Holly mentioned earlier, or one of you mentioned earlier, we're not getting any favours off the pitch with other teams, are we? I mean, there are other results. Are downright ludicrous, aren't they, really? I mean, you're getting teams like Blackburn going to Leeds and winning, and then, you know, Plymouth beat Leicester, and it's almost like you fight, every hurdle you're clearing, there's another one right in front of you, and you just can't seem to get any breaks off the pitch. So with that in mind, I thought, you know, Danny talked so much about winning the home games in this last stretch, that's going to be key. Which winning home games always is anyway, whatever you're trying to achieve in a season, but particularly our plight and that. So I was relatively optimistic that we would come out second half and just edge it, but I was always a little bit wary that they might just get
it
one
was,
chance.
But the atmosphere was still really flat. It needed a goal to absolutely electrify that crowd. And as soon as it did, I mean, Holly, Liam Palmer, I thought scored a very good goal. And then he went absolutely insane right in front of, you know, where you were sitting and all the rest of it. He didn't want that celebration to stop, did he?
Do you know, see, our view is really, really bad. But for that, Smith's like coming out towards the ball and he's going to get it. And then the way that Palmer comes in, just Smith's like moves out of the way, and it was just absolutely brilliant. He celebrated for ages, and there was a point where he was jogging back and the crowd started singing, "He's one of our own." And he like stopped his run, it like stopped him in his tracks celebrating. It was just absolutely brilliant. It were brilliant. Yeah. And I really did feel like, I think all the crowd were just relieved. Everyone just thought, this is it now. Like, we find like a couple of the results weren't really going our way, but this one warrant the relief. So,
yeah, because you know, I had a signal. I could get live score telling
Birmingham
me
beating Coventry 3-0,
and Birmingham was insane. I think Huddersfield were up at one point, weren't they, or something like that. I can't remember it. And so when that goal went in, there was more of a relief than a celebration. And then the celebrations kind of died down. And then what happened, Blair?
Well, it was weird because second half, it carried on as it were, wasn't it? Wednesday were well on top, we were going for it, and as soon as we scored, it's like the shit the bed. Mm-hmm. And it's like Stoke then realised, oh, actually, we need to get something out of this game. And then Wednesday we went, what do we do? Do we sit back? But we're not good enough to sit back.
No. This is where the substitutes coming on late was an issue for me.
Normally Danny Roll, he reacts quick and he makes changes.
Yeah, he'll hook Bannon like, half time, really, stuff like that. That was uncharacteristic of him for me. I thought that was weird because
Patterson on for Windass. So again, I thought Windass had a very poor game again. I mean, Norwich was non-existent. And in that was his first change, and I think he brought Patterson on to try and replicate what he did against Norwich in terms of his work rate up front, which tells the rest of the team that this is like the minimum of what you need to do to win this game of football, and it didn't have the same effect, unfortunately.
I tell you what, John, let's talk about Josh Windass actually. Blair, if you just chuck that last comment in there from Matt, Josh Windass has come into a bit of criticism online. And it's been a weird one, because on one hand, you've got a load of people saying, get rid bloody hell, he's always bloody injured. And then on the other hand, you've got people going, well, he's our best opportunity for getting tick goal. I didn't do Holly's accent. It seems like I'm teasing her all season. It's going to be borderline bullying. But no, I'll get rid of him, like, is probably what she'd have said. But I'm not going to say that because I'm being nice. But like, Josh Windass is a black or white type of player. You're either in this camp or this one. I mean, on one hand, you've got a guy that seemingly can play like he did against Newcastle in the FA Cup, or play like he did, I know he got the winner, but against Barnsley in the final. I mean, like, you know, where do you sit on him? How do you feel? Because I know Holly's going to tell me straight up.
I think with Josh, it's just that whenever he just gets himself going, he then gets injured and he's out again, isn't it? For what seems like, you know, 4, 5, 6 months
or something,
isn't it? Yeah. And so he never really establishes that, you know, that run of games where he can be the most pivotal player in the side. When he's on form, he is really good for this league, I think. But it's just one of those where sometimes when they're not playing, a player becomes better in your mind than what they are. So where we think, oh, now we miss Windass. But then Windass comes back and they don't quite do what you think he's capable of. So it's a tricky one with him. I think since biggest loss to me is Jan Poveda, because he was doing what we want Windass to do. He was running up players. Mm-hmm. He was a threat. He was dangerous, and he was a bigger loss. But Windass, yeah, he's just a very streaky player, isn't he? Sometimes he looks great, and other times he looks disinterested, and I don't think he is disinterested. And he said it before. It's just that's just me. I don't smile. I don't celebrate goals, you know. And people sometimes think that he's not bothered, but I just think he's a streaky player. But we need him to be on the hot streak right now, don't we?
John, I love that you've intertwined your shirt, his haircut, all in that. You know what I mean? Because I know you had blonde streaks in the '90s when you had that shirt on, didn't you? You had frosted.
I've done the blonde thing. Yeah.
We all laughed, bloody hell. And Holly had half and half hair once. It looked absolutely fucking terrible. It looked like she'd gone to head a massive cream egg. H.
How dare you?
Where do you sit on Josh Windass? Kind of this way.
Kind of a question is that? No. Anyway. I think it's harsh on him because he hasn't had chance to settle into what Danny Rule's expecting of him because he's been injured so long. When Rule first started, we had quite a few games that were like that Millwall game at home was a Danny Rule game. They were all really poor. But Windass has been out that long that these games that he's played now are like pretty much his first games for Danny Rule, aren't they? So he's not getting the leeway that everyone else got at the start of it. he's just having to come in and we're expecting him to hit the ground running. So it is a bit harsh.
Is that a contract in the summer? Would you give me even?
Well, we can get to contracts just after this. We had a comment earlier. We'll be playing contract Tinder. We will be doing it in 2 minutes' time. Stay tuned for that, folks. Now, sorry, Ollie.
On the subs, I can't tell whether Danny was holding off because losing the game would be worse than drawing. So I don't know whether he was just holding off rather than going for it. We've gone for it before and we have ended up losing. And a point, out of the two games is only 1 point less than winning one and losing one, isn't it? Like losing against Norwich, winning against Stoke is 3 points, whereas a draw in each is two. Three, though. Well, yeah. Oh, well, obviously, I'd rather have a massive cake ball, but we ain't got it. So,
we don't even have that record anymore. It got beat.
The thing
years
is, he made his subs in. Iorfa came on 92nd minute. Masaba came on 93rd minute. Kadamaji came on 93rd minute, and Gassama came on 84th minute. I mean, it's not a lot of time to make any sort of impact at all.
It's an absolute fart to a shit fight. I don't understand why we did it.
What it showed for me is like. He knew how important this game was to win it. Mm-hmm. Like,
they were ready for a while,
and he was. I think he was. This is the first time he might have been nervous as a manager.
Yeah, I think he was indecisive about it. That's it. Yeah, they were ready for a while.
I think he got caught in the headlights. Blair, what the Mandems out there saying? The internet people saying about Josh Windass? It's been fairly complimentary about him, hasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, Matt says went quiet once Josh went off. Mm-hmm. Which, and then we've got, it definitely looks a bit rusty. Wasn't his ball for rugby? I mean, I couldn't even tell you. Maybe it was.
It was the other end of the
that
pitch.
You played out,
though. Yeah, I can't see nothing. I don't watch highlights, but what, two kids? I ain't got any time to watch anything. Josh didn't look match fit. I mean, there's an argument for that. Maybe he's getting thrown in because Pervader got injured. He's had to throw Josh in.
We're at that stage now, aren't we, where fitness is sod fitness if he can give you 20 minutes.
Yeah, yeah, and you're out of contract in five games. So I don't give a shit.
We did that for the playoff final. Like, I know you've just said that he played shit in that, but he wasn't fit and we brought him in and then he won. If he scores and wins.
And then he won the football. He won.
Exactly.
I said before the Norwich game to John and Charlie, we was in a good place because we had three home games and two away games, so really we had the home advantage against some of the other relegation rivals who have three away games and two home games.
Yeah, and we've dropped our ass. I don't think we've made home count as much as what we should have done.
Now we've got two away games and one home game left, so it's looking very bleak, and our away form is shocking. Our away form is so bad. We've won 5, drawn 1, lost 15.
Brilliant. And now we're going to take 7,000 to Blackburn for an absolute cauldron.
But
nobody goes to Blackburn.
No, Blackburn's got a striker who's got 23 goals this season. And it doesn't matter how crap your team is, but if someone can put the ball in the back of the net, he's going to get a chance.
Yeah, exactly where we are, isn't it? We don't score enough. We're as bad as Rotherham in the league for goal scored, aren't we?
I can't go down that route. Let's go down a different one. So it's that time of the year, ladies and gents. We've got, it's time for contract Tinder. So what we're going to do is I'm going to put the players up on the screen. We're going to go Blair, Holly, John, and we're going to go, what shall we say, swipe left, swipe right. I don't know which one's which. Which is okay.
Of course you don't. Yeah, of course you don't.
Let's just say, bin him or keep him.
Bin him or keep him. All right, then. So, Blair, first one here. Contract Tinder coming up if you want to get involved. Obviously, your comments come through a few seconds after I've probably moved on. So, put the player's name and then bin him or keep him. So, here we go with Contract Tinder. First one is going to be a contentious one, Blair. Bannon.
I'd give him a pay cut, and if you don't accept it, get rid.
So that Blair's got splint on his arse. What about you, H?
I'm not his biggest fan, but I think I would probably keep him. And I also think if we do get relegated in this one of the worst seasons ever, I feel like that's going to be really harsh on his legacy. Not that I think we should keep people for legacy reasons, but it will be a pretty harsh way to go, won't it?
Yeah. John, you've got the deciding vote. Oh, you haven't, because Blair's got splinters on his ass. What about you, John?
I think I'd keep him. I think he's taking his coaching badges, so I think he could be somebody who you like around the side and could form a closer relationship with Danny Rule and could strengthen that bond between him and the first team players. Might have to drop his appearances and be more of a, you know, a 75-minute player. But
I'd keep him. Let's move on. The next one, the dance that everybody does on the cop, like they've just washed their hands and the hand dryers aren't working in the janker. Blair, we've got Big Dish. What are you saying?
5-year contract.
Absolutely. Holly?
We're not going to keep him, are we? He's not going
to
keep us.
He's
refusing
to talk to us, I think.
How is he only 23? What?
No idea. John, I assume you're in the keep camp of Deshaun.
Well, I would love to keep him, but I think he'll be gone.
Okay, next one is Kieran Brennan, isn't it? That's I don't know much about him.
I have no thoughts on Brennan.
I think he
may just get some regular first team football. I'm going to stay out of this one. I'm hoping that the three of you decide this. Blair, Cameron Dawson
is going straight back to Exeter, baby.
on Dawson though, like if you're all going to say to get rid of him, Pierce Charles has it said today that his contract talks have stalled and. Beadle's not ours.
We've still got him until 2025, though.
But what's well,
if Charles doesn't have too
no
much
keepers,
money, then
keeper.
See you later.
Keeper when Ness. Do what you want.
Go on, John.
Dawson needs to move on for the sake of his own career, so I'd let go of Dawson.
That's very kind.
Can
of
I
you,
just
John,
shock
you?
given our this is it.
Like, whether
we'd offer contract or not, I think is where we're going. Lee Gregory.
Yeah, he's off.
I'm really gutted for him. I think that he could have helped us in some games this season. But as someone in a similar age, I feel like I'm on my way up, so who knows? I'd probably get rid of him.
John?
Yeah, Gregors is gone. He's not gonna hang around sitting up. We don't even get on the bench, does he? So
yeah, 35 is some age. Yeah. I bet the recovery's taking some while. Big Bad Dom. Those of you a certain age will remember a Domestos advert with that song on it. Big Bad Dom, what we saying, Blair?
There's something about Dom. No matter how many bad games he has, I still think that he's good. He's got something in there, so I'd probably keep him.
I think it depends what league we're in. In League One, last season, I thought he were absolutely dreadful, but this season he's better. And the season before, a couple of seasons ago when we were in Championship, I thought he were good. So I don't know what that is about, but the worst that we are, the worst that he is. If we stay in this league, I'd probably keep him. Hey, somebody's saying that they'd get rid of me for next season. That is harsh. So yeah, it depends what league we're in for. I offer.
Go on, John.
I'd keep I offer. I think I offer very quickly is a bit like when we had Tom Lees, and you know when they were really good, you probably needed to sell them and make some money, but now they've hung around and they've started to plateau or downwards.
That's been an issue under the entire Chancery tenure for me, the fact that we keep players on just a couple of years too long. Right, we're at the halfway point now. A guy who I forgot we signed and was here full-time was Reece James. I don't know. Where do you all stand? Let's do it quickly.
This is purely what league you're in next season contracts, because if we go down, you've got to keep him, haven't you?
But we're offering contracts now, Blair. You've got to do it. You've got to go.
Well, he's gone then, isn't he? Because we're staying up. So.
If Danny Rule stays, he's not going to play him. When we've been missing somebody as like a defensive midfielder, he's played that position before and we still haven't even played him there. We're never going to play him in back line. If you put all of our defenders in a line, he's going to stand out as not in the same mould as everyone else, isn't he? So if Danny Rule stays, he ain't going to play. Regardless of what league we're in, he's a fan favorite in the women supporters group, and I love him. I would keep him, but yeah,
John,
move on, let him go.
Or move on from Reece James, or we'll just move him on.
No contract offer for Reece.
This one's going to be interesting because there was a lot of talk about his performance against Stoke City. I don't particularly, I didn't notice that he was phoning it in, if I'm honest. I just felt like, you know, he made one good challenge. I thought he played all right. I don't know where everybody's at him. And that is Mrs. Online. Don't be weird. Bad Marv.
See you later.
I love Marv. And in the first half against QPR, we got quite a lot of joy down the side that Johnson would have been on, and he wasn't there. And we didn't put a single cross in from that side for, like, there were quite a big period where we kept getting down that side and we just couldn't put a cross in. And nobody does it like Marv. So I keep him.
John?
I'd like Marvin Goyle. He's 33 now, and I think we need to be recycling the squad with younger players.
We're going to get rid of everybody. There's nobody left in this squad.
I'm keeping them all anyway.
Let's wrap this up a bit quicker. Let's just go a bit quicker. But I want to hear you working out on this one. Liam Palmer. This one's a difficult one. I personally keep him because he's utility and he's been a lot better the last couple of years. What about you, Blair?
No, I'd go.
I'd keep him for the same reason as I said for Bannon.
The reason why most people just want to get rid of Bannon is because we've had these around for so long now and we've achieved nothing.
We got promoted though, Blair, at Wembley. I saw it.
Yeah, but League One achievements aren't what
you were right there.
Should be aiming for. In the Championship, it's been failure and it's not going to get any better. Like, there's no point keeping him because the result ain't going to be any different next season. So I'd get rid of him.
So, Holly, you're keeping purely for the utility and what you were saying about Bannon. What about you, John?
I agree with what you said, Dan. I think he is a good offers good squad depth, so I would offer him contract.
Absolutely, absolutely. Right then, this is dragging on. I don't even know if I'm entertained by it anymore. Remaining, we've got Volks, Wilkes, Windast,
Backinson,
and Byers. So, out of Volks, Wilkes, Windast, Backinson, Byers, Blair, how many of them are you keeping?
Well, keep Volks. I haven't seen many people from Blackpool praising Byers, so... Ooh.
I have. I think... Did you got Man at Match, didn't he, this weekend?
Week. Yeah, he did.
Man at Match last week. Well, I didn't see that.
Sorry. We all commented it on Twitter. We all did a salute emoji and everything. I don't know why we're there. What about Windass, Backinson and Byers?
Nah, I'll get rid.
I'd keep Volks.
Wilkes,
don't you dare. Wilkes is one of the worst players I've... He's only 25 years old. Why does he run like an old man?
But he did that dance that one time.
Mr. Wilkes, he runs like Mr. Wilkes. And he's got Seth Armstrong on the other wing.
Wow.
Jesus.
I did like Backinson's little tash, but yeah, I won't keep him for that.
Look, definitely keep Volks. Wilkes can go. I think Windass will be off. So Backinson, no. And I personally would love George Byers back, but only if we've gone down to League One, which I don't want to happen. So, no.
I think what happens if we go down to League One, Danny Roll's got a big thing he's going to ask himself. Because if he goes to League One and doesn't get promoted and has a bad season in League One, it could really hurt his career.
I don't think that'll happen. I think if we go down again, given the experience we had, we can't afford to stay down. I think we'll come bouncing straight back up. The issue is how many players are out of contract and they don't know they weren't their man. They don't know what it's like. So if Danny's going to try and play nice football in League One, when you and I know full well it's a Hekwe and Smudge Edin ball rate hard. You know what I mean? I feel like that might be where he gets caught out.
But Kieran McKenna played pretty nice football in League One. He's doing all right now, so.
Bin him. All right, listen, that's an hour. Does anybody have any other business before I wrap this up?
Yes, I do.
go for them, Fudge.
What? I just think, like, I know everyone's been moaning about the... I know everyone's been moaning about the prices and stuff, but, this has been a proper rollercoaster. I know it's horrible at the moment, isn't it? But... And at the end of that last game, I honestly could have done that Nicky Graham, I can't stand it anymore, thing. I honestly could have done that because we're charging Alton Towers prices because it is a roller coaster of a season. We do this for fun. We absolutely do it for fun. And the EFL, all of it, is just absolutely brilliant. Like, the drama of it all. With 10 games to go and every single team's is still involved with something to play for, it's just absolutely brilliant. And I know, like, when we win, everybody wins. When we lose, everybody loses. I just think it's been absolutely, it's been sad. And I do think we're going to fall short eventually. I really do think we're going to fall short. But to still be involved is just absolutely brilliant. I have enjoyed it. That's all I wanted to say. I've been enjoying it.
I tell you what, Holly's enjoyed it.
I'm not ready for the end of the season.
I know, I need it to extend by at least another four games, but what a phrase that was. We're charging Alton Towers prices because it's been such a roller coaster. Ladies and gents, I'll leave you with that. Thank you tonight for your comments, boys and girls. Thank you to John, Holly and Blair for this evening. We might know what's happening with our season by the time we next time see you next week. Join us next week, Monday, 8 o'clock. See you then. See you later.
Has a shot, but it goes the other way.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to another episode of the Wednesday Week.
I'm a little bit older than you.
And I'm not touching this topic. I'm not touching it.
Yeah.
Mediocre, mid-table, rabble, aren't
you? So I just want to be able to talk as much crap.
If you play a night game, he has to turn the floodlights on.
No one would have believed that he would keep his job for as long as he had. But...
It's the 90th minute. You've got all your mates round. You've got your McNugget share boxes coming down the left wing, ready to go. Your mate's already been booked for double dipping, and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points back of the net. Le Bosch. Ultimate delivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com for more information. See you later.
Confidence starts with loving who you are. And when your skin feels nourished and glows on the outside, you naturally radiate confidence from the inside. Give your skin a glow-up with Osea's clinically proven Mega Moisture Duo. This ultra-hydrating body care features two of Osea's best sellers, Undaria Algae Body Oil and Undaria Collagen Body Lotion. These seaweed-powered heroes use skincare-level ingredients normally reserved for your face for results you can see and confidence you can feel. Osea has been making clean, clinically proven seaweed-infused face and body care products for over 28 years. This luxurious skincare is vegan, cruelty-free, and climate-neutral certified, so you never have to choose between your values and your best skin. Glow from the inside out. Get 10% off your first order with code GLOW at OseaMalibu.com. That's OseaMalibu.com, code GLOW.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.